football on Off the Ball.
I think they're so far ahead of Rangers now. If they continue to use Rangers as their barometer, they're heading in the wrong place.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
I think they're so far ahead of Rangers now. If they continue to use Rangers as their barometer, they're heading in the wrong place.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 41 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we will focus on Saturday's action at Kempton and Sunday's fair at Longchamp. So subscribe now. Johnny Ward, how are you?
Good, JD.
I can hear you before I even spoke to you.
Yeah, it's I'm just up at Down Royal here. This is like the last kind of hot day of whatever the summer was, 6th of September, JD. You know, it's just cracking weather, and it's, I suppose, a quiet enough weekend on the racing front in terms of the action. But yeah, we've plenty to talk about, some of it not good.
Let's get to it then, the story that's been breaking the last 24 hours. Trainer John Joseph Hanlon has been handed a 10-month ban and fined €2,000 by the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. Nicknamed Shark, Mr. Hanlon was charged by the IHRB of acting in a manner prejudicial to the integrity of the sport and providing false or misleading information to IHRB officials. His ban relates to an incident back in June when footage surfaced of a dead racehorse being transported in an open trailer attached to one of Hanlon's branded lorries with the carcass fully visible to the public. He was transporting the deceased animal to an hackery in Carlow from his training base in County Kilkenny. The last 5 months of his ban will be suspended on the basis he complies with certain IHRB provisions. Now, this was part of the statement from the referrals committee, and the public are entitled to hold legitimate expectations and concerns as to the humane and respectful treatment of both live and dead sport horses. The IHRB must respond appropriately to these expectations and concerns by the meaningful enforcement of reasonable standards of conduct by licensed participants in the sport. Now, after the incident occurred, Hanlon apologised for any distress which may have been caused by the footage. He said a piece of tarpaulin had come loose in transit. There was an inspection of his yard by the IHRB and the Department of Agriculture, and this was found that horses in his yard are being properly treated and there is good welfare. We know with Shark Hanlon, he trained Hewick to win one of the biggest races in the National Hunt calendar last year, the King George Chase at Kempton. He is going to appeal the ban, and he was quoted in the Racing Post as saying, "I'm surprised, I'm very disappointed. It was one of those things, and it's not like I intentionally set out to do what happened. I feel like I didn't do anything wrong, and what happened was an accident." Now, this is a business and an industry, Johnny, that involves, in inverted commas, livestock, but it's also a sport in receipt of up to €100 million a year in I suppose, grants from the government to build an industry. Racing, I suppose, Johnny, from my perspective, cannot have PR or own goals, public relations own goals, to put it in a bad light with the public, and this is another instance of that.
Yeah, you've explained it very nicely there, JD. And let's be clear: the treatment of horses who are dead does not compare to the treatment of horses who are alive. And you know, that's a fairly obvious point, but I think it's important to note that the Gordon Elliott controversy all those years ago now, it involved a horse that had passed away, and it was more about the optics of it and all of that. And in this instance, again, you're dealing with, as you say, livestock. This is a deceased animal. I was sent footage of the incident via WhatsApp, probably not that long after it had happened. And I guess the point there is that it had already long gone around WhatsApp. So I got it on WhatsApp. You can be sure thousands of people got it on WhatsApp. And it was explained in the manner of social media, I suppose, or WhatsApp at the time, you know, roughly what had happened. And you had to kind of deduce what happened. And then Shark explained that there was obviously the tarpaulin that went loose. But again, the optics are horrific, JD. It's as simple as that. The optics of the Elliott thing were awful at the time. People are very, very fond of horses, whether they're involved with them or not. And the optics of this were damaging for the sport. So I'd honestly half forgotten about it. And then yesterday, the front of the Racing Post, there was a story in relation to Shark and a horse that had left his yard, Bedalia. Footage emerged of her in poor condition 2 months after leaving his yard. And I was going about my business yesterday, since this was the front page of the Racing Post, and two people contacted me in relation to Shark. One was you in relation to what we talked about today, and the other one was a journalist looking for his number. So I wasn't aware of this. So I went back to the Racing Post website just thinking, have I missed something here? And then you had the license suspension. Shark is absolutely he's absolutely in his right to appeal this, and to you know, as you say, the IHRB and the Department of Agriculture said that the horses were in good condition when he came to the yard. He has his right to appeal this. And I interviewed Shark at Patrick Races only a few days ago after he'd had a winner, and he's great for racing in the sense of his positive attitude, and Hewick, the rags to success story of Hewick. And, you know, he's a person who I think does a lot of good for racing in terms of his image and how gregarious he is and how much he'll talk to anyone that meets him. But unfortunately, in this instance, I feel he has to put his hands up. You are in, as a licensed trainer, you have an awful lot of responsibility, JD. And we saw recently with Luke Comer Jr., the responsibility of carcasses found in his land. And that story hasn't been told as to how those carcasses got there. And maybe he trusted people who let him down. We don't know. But Luke, obviously, he committed 20 grand to a charity after that, because he recognised that he was ultimately the licensed trainer responsible. And in this instance, Shark is the licensed trainer responsible. And one other thing, JD, it again brings to the fore racing's very, very uneasy attitude with horses basically ending their lives after being in training. And it's something that was horrifically exposed, obviously, with the Abattoir story on RTE. Brilliant, brilliant journalism in recent months. And I think it's something that we need to debate more so in racing. Are we happy for horses to basically end up dead, you know, in the middle of their, in the early natural lives that they might have, for various reasons, injuries and so on. And when they do die, they can't be exposed to the public like this in the back of a trailer.
Are the IHRB getting tougher around these things? I suppose is racing on the dock of the public now a bit more than it would have been?
Yeah, like the Gordon Elliott thing. I mean, and in hindsight, I have a lot of sympathy for Gordon. I know he went through a very, very tough time that time, and this was all over the world. It was all over the world. It was on you know, American TV. It was all over the world, and it was probably at a time when, you know, it was this maybe slow news time at that time in relation to sport and all of that. But it went all over the world. Gordon really suffered from it. He lost horses for it. And he definitely paid the penalty for that error of judgment. But as you say, JD, like the government is... The prize money in this country is bad as it is, and it would be deplorably bad if the government weren't subsidising the guts of half it. So you can't have the optics of horses being, you know, basically on show for the public as carcasses, or buried in a field, or people sitting on them, when the government is basically keeping Irish racing more or less afloat. And there are plenty of people in the corridors of power, primarily maybe on the left, who will say, why are we putting all this money into horse racing and what are we getting back? And we have to be very, very cognizant of that. And unfortunately, things like this and the expose of the amount of thoroughbreds who were killed in that abattoir is just not good. And racing has to confront this and say, okay, well, we have an issue here. This is how we're going to deal with it. And in this instance, I think the IHRB said, and Judge Tony Hunt said, this is prejudicial to the integrity of racing, and it's prejudicial to PR. And we have to give what is a quite a stiff sentence, I would argue.
Okay, Johnny, that's the Shark Hanlon case. That was, I suppose, the big news this week. We had also the Aidan O'Brien stable tour. I suppose this is the other side of it. You know, the brilliance of a trainer such as Aidan O'Brien that is talking about City of Troy, his star horse going straight to the Breeders' Cup Classic now in Del Mar in San Diego in November. And look, these are the things we can be proud about, despite all the troubling news that we've had in recent months.
Yeah, and I don't want to go overboard in it either. Racehorses are exceptionally well looked after. I mean, if every animal could be born a racehorse, he or she, I'd be pretty delighted, to be honest. They're better looked after than a lot of humans, so let's not lose sight of that as well. And the people who look after them are amazing at their job. And not only that, but they genuinely care very, very deeply about the horses. And if you look after City of Troy, I'm sure you care very deeply about him. I find the whole thing really compelling, JD. I think that day is the same day as the Jay in Wine, Jerry Colomb's comeback at Down Royal. So you'll have, like, I love that idea of a Saturday of racing where it starts quite early and ends up in the Breeders' Cup and City of Troy running on the dirt, which is something that is is very rarely tried in these parts, because generally your horses aren't bred for it, and they go over there to take on proper dirt horses in the States if they try it at all. City of Troy, because he's by Justifying American Stallion, is giving it a go. It doesn't look, and I don't follow dirt racing in the States, but it doesn't appear to be a vintage kind of era or vintage generation of dirt horse at the moment, so you go over there with a very realistic chance. And as much as I see Richie Forrest in the Racing Post saying City of Troy casts a mighty shadow over Irish Champions Festival as promotion founders, City of Troy not coming to Leopardstown is unfortunate, but I don't blame Aidan O'Brien here at all. Him running at Leopardstown wouldn't tell us much more than we already know. He's definitely one of my favourite race horses, and just the way he goes about his business, and him running on the dirt in Delmar is fascinating stuff. It's rarely been tried, and I can't wait for the race.
Yeah, it'll be early November. It'll be on the 2nd of November, Saturday the 2nd of November, folks, if you want to put it in your diary. But look, it's also
tough training as well, JD. Tough to train a horse that was running in the Guineas. I obviously ran an abject race in the Guineas, so that was in April, to be still on the go in November. That's very unusual on the flat. So Aidan O'Brien is obviously bringing him over south, so they'll work him on the Tapita, all weather surface. But that'll be quite challenging. And obviously he has to go over there and then acclimatise and all that, but the two of us should go, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is one of these events that is all across America. Like, it's NBC Sports, you know, it's the big time. It's the World Championships of Flat Racing. And having been to see Flightline win in 2022 in Keeneland, it's one of the big worldwide events. So we'll keep a close eye on what City of Troy's progress is. Also, in this Champions weekend, there's lots of other horses for Leopardstown and the Curra. And it's up to the HRI and the courses to market these races. So I don't really see it as an excuse if it's a disappointing turnout or anything if City of Troy isn't there. It's all about the making an attractive day for punters to go to. So I actually sometimes think it's irrelevant what the horses are that are running sometimes in these races. Let's get to Navan then on Saturday, Johnny. Looking at two races here, the most expensive ones on the card. The first one is a filly's maiden, 18 runners over 6 furlongs. Quite liked trying to work out the puzzle of this one. You've a lot of yearlings and promising fillies that might do something, and maybe one or two will surprise. Agouti Bear, Johnny, was interesting. She showed speed on her debut, finishing 2nd of 17 at the Curra. And did you pick one out here?
Yeah, I suppose the first thing to say about Navan is, again, racegoers are just treated like not even second-class citizens here, but last-class citizens. You've run the meeting at 2:15 with 7 flat races, 35-minute gaps, that ends up at 5:40 when Ireland are playing England at 5 o'clock.
I mean, that's not a Navan thing. That's an industry thing here.
It's Navan. I imagine Navan have no say in it. Yeah. It's kind of just an indication of where we're at now, that you're basically telling a race goer, do not go to racing at Navan on Saturday, because we'll drag the life out of it and you won't be able to get home to watch the Ireland-England match. And I know, like, race courses in this country, they're actually far better than Britain had shown other sporting events. Really, really good at that. Rasida Adeleke, when she was running in her recent races in the Olympics, I remember watching it in Sligo races. If there's an All-Ireland final on, they'll have that on. Even if there's any sort of GA on, they'll have that on. They might have soccer on as well. So very, very good at that. But this does, the optics of this are quite bad. So you have 35-minute gaps with a meeting with 4 sprints, and then it drags out to 5:40. So if you're a local race goer, now, in fairness, Stanford wouldn't get many in the flat anyway, but it's basically telling you don't go, because this is a meeting that's for the TV rights money, and that's fair enough. That's where we're at. That's basically the reality of this meeting. It's not a bad meeting. I'm there myself. Stella Alpina is one of two Cody Bears in the race. It's interesting. She ran very well first time out at Nace. Goody Bear is the other one that you'd say, JD, very, very promising type as well after that first run. One of the horses that did attract me was one of the newcomers, if I can get it up here. I didn't feel that it was a race in which a newcomer couldn't necessarily win, and I do like to look at bad timing.
That's the one.
Yeah, Philly by Maymas. She was a 30 grand yearling. She's actually quite stoutly bred. The dam wasn't necessarily precocious, a mile and three winner, but 30 grand yearling, and you can just absolutely trust your lines to have this horse ready first time out. Drawn one won't be a problem, so that she gets my vote first time out. Don't think it's the strongest maiden.
Owned by his daughter Carrie Lyons, bad timing, so there you go. Was a filler. It was a film back in the day, Bad Timing. Don't know if it's related to the name of the horse, but there were the two, Agouti Bear and Bad Timing, that I picked out. So we'll both say Bad Timing, I think, in this one. And then there's a 4-runner race, Snapdragon at 250. Is this a chance for a 240 grand horse to win a race finally?
Very much so, yeah. It's kind of strange because there's an Ulster, I'm at Down Royal recording this, there's an Ulster here that was divided, which actually in terms of numbers is fair enough. There's only four runners for this race, which is good prize money. It's an EBF race, but four runners I was surprised at. One of them rated 74. It's very, very weak. And to be fair to Snapdragon, as much as he hasn't obviously managed to win yet, he's not done a great deal wrong. He's gone down narrowly the last thrice. This will be the shortest price he's been sent off. His form around Navan. It'll be some long faces, I think, if he doesn't win this.
Yeah, Grand Marquez is also in this. Been highly tried, ran well to be fifth in the Group 3 at the Curra. Her fourth and Nice, though, last time out, she could be seen as disappointing in that context.
Yeah, she definitely is interesting. Fozzie does well with his Star Spangled Banner horses, and she's run into several Ballydoyle horses, Heaven's Gate twice, Truly Enchanting. As I thought it was a bit disappointing at Nace the last year, whether the Stiff Six didn't really suit her behind the Lions train at Revoke. Snapdragon is giving her £5, which, you know, as a colt, really he should be winning this race. Form is grand, but he's rated 90, and I'm not even sure she's worth her rating necessarily of 85, so he should be winning this.
Okay, the good to soft is the ground condition for the Haydock on Saturday, the Sprint Cup at 3:35. Group 1, six furlong, 16 runners. First of all, Johnny, older horses versus three-year-olds, what do you generally like in these types of contests?
It depends, I suppose, on the time of year as well, and that's a glib point to make, but, you know, obviously as the year goes on, the gap between them gets narrower, and I tend not to be, it's kind of like juvenile horses in over hurdles taking on their elders. Generally, I'd be more inclined to look against them. I think it's kind of like throwing a minor into senior combat in Gaelic games, where it takes a bit of getting used to, and just physically there. And it's also these races are really, really tough. 16 runners are going to go flat out. The last 3-year-old to win the race was Hello Yumze, and 3-year-olds actually have a grand record in it. I'd be inclined to take them on, but I suppose one of the points of this race, we have some very good Irish horses in it, including 2 3-year-olds. Gimme the Beat Boys, Buccaneer Ferte, and it is an absolute cracker of a race. Like, maybe 16 runner sprints aren't your thing, JD, but if they are, this is pretty class.
So have you narrowed it down, Detective Johnny, by process of elimination? What have you narrowed it down to?
Yeah, you said the ground is good to soft, JD. I imagine that will change, because I looked at the forecast for Haydock. It's very, very warm in Down Royal today. It feels like the last day of the summer, and the weather gets a lot colder next week, but it is hot today in Haydock. And with, I think they're around about 25 degrees, that ground will have to go good, you'd imagine. I'm just hoping it stays kind of relatively on the soft side for any year, and it doesn't go good to firm anyway, because this horse, he's a 3-year-old as well, but he's very, very good. He was disappointed maybe a bit the last day at Newmarket, but he can kept on well for pressure, and he's a horse obviously that Kevin Ryan has thought lots of. He actually dropped him back from a mile early in the campaign after he ran behind Notable Speech, who we might mention in terms of the French action later on in the show. But since he's gone over 6 furlongs, he's been excellent. Horse by Shamardal, slight, you know, maybe you could say slightly disappointed in the July Cup, but he's had time to recover from that, and I just hope there's a small bit of juice to the ground. Cracking race though.
So this year in 4-1, is that your selection?
It's my selection, yeah.
I'm going to go for Buccaneiro Fuerte at 14-1 each way. This is the top rated horse in the race. Hasn't been seen since May. Was meant to go to Royal Ascot, but had a little bit of a setback. But a really promising type. Has won 4 of his 6 races, including a Group 1 at the Curra over the distance last year. He's only 3. The ground is not an issue. And I think David Egan is quietly confident. I think if the horse is primed, I think he's a value price at 14-1. What's your view?
Yeah, he's a very likeable horse. He's part of the Ammo Racing contingent that Adrian Murray trains. Adrian trains in the Midlands, and he's been, I suppose he's been blessed to get these horses, because, you know, and he's very, very thankful to the owner as well. Just touched off Give Me the Beat Boys the last day when they clashed at Nace. I remember that day Give Me the Beat Boys was favourite. Actually, both horses with very good attitudes. Definitely has a chance. You imagine he's been prepped for this as well, and this would be some win for Adrian Murray if he could get it.
Also, Swing Along is worth looking at. Fourth in the race last year, ran well in the July Cup. Should have been a ring, was second in this last year, 50-1 shot then, and won a Group 3 at Deauville over the distance in July. Bit of money for that today. Bit of money as well for Anaf in the Group 1 Spring Cup. McMahon at Double J in the racing pod. Johnny, what is your selection for the free-to-air section?
the free-to-air section, I'm going to actually give one. I'm going to give one at Navan, one of the later races. If I just get it up here, Inishirim will be my selection in the big race. But I think the Navan card gets maybe a little bit better as the racing goes on, and we have a couple of mile and two races to close out the card. And the Gorman Lock handicap is quite an interesting race. It's a mile and two. One of these races that showcase the Irish prize money that it's not easy. It's just over $6,000 to the winner, and you have to be 20 horses in it. And Shlee Barna, I mean, if this horse can't be winning at 49, given the form he's been in over hurdles, I know he's drawn 17. I know Dunham Murphy's claiming 10. I don't think he's had a winner yet, but he's been in unbelievable form over hurdles, and he has to be thereabouts at 49, given he was second the last day of 102 over hurdles. Really should win.
Number 17, Shlee Barna. Where you'll be going for your holidays if that wins the 10 past 5 at Navan on Saturdays. Johnny's McMahon at Double J. Mine is Bocanero Fuerte in the big one at Haydock, the Sprint Cup, 335, 14 to 1 each way for Bocanero Fuerte. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's action at Kempton and Sunday's action at Longchamp, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.